I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington State. This week, two bills dealing with fraud were given hearings in the Senate Housing Committee. Both of them were a result of an exclusive report here on Undivided about alleged self-dealing within something called the Community Reinvestment Program. We aired this story back in October. In it, a whistleblower exposed details of how BIPOC nonprofits who were contracted with the state to dole out funds to community members who qualified for down payment assistance or debt relief were often redirecting that money to themselves, their staff members, or their family members. That whistleblower, Corey Orvold, testified in favor of Senate Bill 6205, which would prohibit self-dealing in the future.
So my name is Corey Orvold. I'm signing in pro for this. I, along with others, have had to console devastated community members who believe they had a real opportunity to homeownership through the Community Reinvestment Program. Many were misled. Some lost their dream of owning a home. Others took on new debt, and some ultimately became homeless. It is clear these funds were disproportionately directed to clients of preferred professionals, nonprofit employees, and their family members, their close friends, and even their board members. Senate Bill 6205 seeks to prevent these conflicts of interest from happening in the future, and I urge you to vote pro.
I should note that if she sounded like she was in a hurry, Corey was given just 30 seconds to testify in favor of the bill at that hearing. The bill, 6205, was prime sponsored by State Senator John Braun.
It's really meant to address some credible reporting we saw last summer about could be characterized as misuse of some of these funds, or at least maybe double dealing, where folks who had some sort of relationship to the nonprofit that was allocating the funding, either perhaps on a board member, perhaps a family member of a board member, were getting what appears, at least at the top level, special treatment and getting multiple grants for the same purchase of a house, while others who were also well qualified were being told there was just no funds available to help them. I think these are all programs that have been debated in the legislature, and we didn't all agree on the program in some cases, but they are now law. We're trying to, and we should be trying on a nonpartisan basis to execute them well. It's really about just good government. So all the bill does is try to make consistent that we're looking at the same things when we allocate funding, income, family size, the things that would drive need. It doesn't change the underlying programs in any way. And then we have those audits that make sure that as the money is spent, that it's spent wisely and carefully.
Another bill heard during the same hearing was also a result of our whistleblower report. It is Senate Bill 6167, and this would prohibit something that was exposed by our whistleblower, and that is the stacking of down payment assistance programs. There are multiple such programs in the state of Washington that serve communities of color, like the Covenant Home Ownership Program and the Community Reinvestment Program. And there were several instances that we exposed in our reporting where one individual would benefit from multiple programs at the same time while other people were turned away. For example, there was a woman whose mother worked for the Urban League of Metropolitan Seattle who got $350,000 toward a home down payment from multiple different entities. And she got both Covenant funds and Community Reinvestment Program funds while, again, other people were being turned away.
Oversight of taxpayer-funded down payment assistance is not only essential, it is absolutely necessary. Senate Bill 6167 is a critical remedy that would prevent one household from receiving $350,000 in taxpayer money, including Covenant. It would prevent another household from receiving $336,000 in taxpayer money, including Covenant. It would prohibit another household from receiving $250,000 towards the purchase of a $280,000 condo. One of the most appalling is it will prevent a $1 million home purchaser from receiving $373,000, including Covenant. I have this and other stories in this binder that I've gathered. I strongly encourage you to pass Senate Bill 6167. Thank you.
Of course, one of the big themes of this legislative session is taxation and the budget. There was a massive self-inflicted budget deficit last year that Governor Bob Ferguson filled with around $14 billion in new taxes. And so they're looking this year at ways to try to raise revenue. One of the big conversations is going to be about the millionaire's tax, which is just an income tax on people making over $1 million a year. Although, of course, there's some concern that eventually the legislature will alter it so that it's an income tax on everyone. There's also a tax proposal this session that would spread Seattle's payroll tax, which is a tax on high-paying jobs across the entire state. Now, these conversations come at a critical time because there was yet another round of tech layoffs announced in the Seattle area this week. This was the headline from Cairo 7 News: scariest time economically since the Great Recession. Layoffs hit struggling Seattle region. The layoffs include 16,000 jobs from Amazon. Also, Seattle's Expedia Group plans to lay 162 employees off at its Seattle location. Former State Senator Joe Wynn, who was also the first director of commerce under the new governor, Bob Ferguson, he recently left commerce. I don't know if you knew this, and he took the job as the CEO of the Seattle Chamber of Commerce. This is his first week on the job, and so now he's contending with decisions being made in the legislature by his former colleagues in a new way. He said in a quote to Cairo 7 News, "I'm very nervous about what's happening. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. We're competing globally, and we don't have an environment right now where I think the political community and the business community are working very well together." So here you have this time where there's a lot of uncertainty economically because of what's happening in tech, some of that because of taxation and state business policy. And you still have lawmakers pushing new taxes on business after there was such a large increase in the B&O tax in Washington State last year. So that is certainly something that we're going to keep our eye on. Speaking of sectors that are hurting, small family farms in Washington State continue to close at a record rate. And they say there are some federal policies that are causing that, but a lot of it is being caused by state-level policies. We spoke to Rosella Mosby, who's the president of the Washington State Farm Bureau.
We are in dire straits here. People are selling their property and getting out, and that property is turning into houses, and we are just straight up losing farmers and local food access. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We have labor challenges, we have market challenges, we have input price challenges. There are so many layers to agriculture.
Mosby was particularly concerned about a suite of bills around helping farm workers rapidly unionize. She said this could put entire crops and entire seasons and even entire farms in jeopardy.
Our irrigation crew works 6.5 days a week. They are the crew that works the most. If your plants don't have water and it's hot out, your plants will start to get the signal that they're no longer needed, which means your production goes down. Zucchini grows 1/4 inch per hour in the hot sun. So we pick every zucchini field every day to day and a half. If you don't pick when that zucchini is the grade size, then you can't sell it on the market. You cannot put it in a box. If you're not getting water, you're not picking the fruit, you're done within 7 days. Say the temperature is mild and you have a longer window. If it's 90 degrees out, you're done. Like within a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, your season is over.
Those farm workers, by the way, would also be able to utilize unemployment benefits because of a law passed last year in Olympia that extends unemployment benefits to striking workers. There was also some angst this week over a bill that would crack down on people who are not paying their car tabs. Senate Bill 6176 is prime sponsored by Senator Curtis King, a Republican, and Senator Marco Elias, a Democrat. It would basically make it easier for the Washington State Patrol and other entities to ticket you for not paying your car tabs or not renewing your car tabs. Senator King joined us this week on Undivided and said he knows that people are upset with the runaway cost of car tabs, but this is about enforcing the law equally.
We just need to be able to be fair with everybody and to say, you need to pay your car tabs. It's the law.
Tim Iman, who ran the infamous $30 car tabs initiatives, spoke against the bill this week.
Three times the voters said, we don't want to pay any more than $30. And three times they were told they were too confused by a measure to give it to them.
On the public safety front, there's a bipartisan bill introduced being spearheaded by Representative Travis Couture, a Republican, and Representative Mari Levitt, a Democrat, and it would seek to try to save babies from dangerous home environments. There's been a lot of controversy over the last couple years about the Keeping Families Together Act. This was a law passed in 2021, and what it sought to do is keep babies and children in the home and not send so many kids to foster care. And so they changed some language in the law about imminent harm. They basically said it's not imminent harm if you're using a dangerous drug like fentanyl around your child. We're going to try to get you help and supportive services. We'll get you a lockbox to lock up your drugs, but we're not necessarily going to take your child away. Well, the result of that was pretty predictable. The state saw a massive increase in the number of fatalities and near fatalities involving drug overdoses among kids who were under, supposed to be under, the watchful eye of the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. So House Bill 1092 would try to rectify this. It would say, no, it is imminent harm if you are using an illegal drug around children. The bill says that promises to secure those drugs is not sufficient, and that if a child ends up being taken by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families, the parent has to prove they've been sober for 6 months in order to regain custody. And given that the state's own data shows that there's been a massive uptick in the number of children who've died or nearly died of drug overdoses since the Keeping Families Together Act was passed, it seems likely that there would be some traction on this bill this year. And it also has bipartisan support, which always helps in Olympia. That has been Politics Unpacked for this third week of the legislative session. Just one note, we are going to be down in Olympia on Tuesday on the steps of the Washington State Capitol. We'll be supporting our friends at Let's Go Washington, along with a lot of parents and young women who are going to be there to advocate for the two Let's Go Washington initiatives that so far Democrats have not been willing to give hearings to. One of those initiatives would keep boys out of girls' sports. The other initiative would protect and restore parental rights in education. And so I, along with our friends at Let's Go Washington, would love to have you come join us on the steps of the Washington State Capitol at 2:30 p.m. And then Republican lawmakers will hold an informal hearing for the bills, given that the majority party will not. Again, that has been Politics Unpacked. Thank you for joining us. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42. Stay and fight. Sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that and get involved in the political process in Washington State. And to catch regular episodes of Undivided Monday through Thursday, make sure to become a subscriber at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, and follow us across all social media platforms.